The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
We started a series a couple months ago looking at the book of Daniel. And the focus was, how do we as the people of God, if you are called a follower of Christ, how do we live in a nation that is far from God? I'm not trying to bash our nation. There are a lot of amazing things that I love about our country. I love the freedoms we have. I love the way that we have resources beyond what others could even dream of. There's a lot I love about what God has blessed us with as a country. But things aren't quite as they should be. And how are we as the people of God? If you are a follower of Jesus, and I'm not going to assume that everybody here is, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know if there's even such a thing as a God or anything, we are glad you're here. We want you to feel welcome and warm in this place. Even if you're just here to make a family member happy, we're glad you're here. But if you're here searching, our hope is that your heart would become open to the things of God, that you would know that God loves you, and I hope your mind is touched and your heart is touched by some of what is shared today. In our series, we've taken the Pledge of Allegiance. Last week, we looked at the words under God, one nation under God. And today, we're looking at the words indivisible. Before we start, just check out this video. A Pledge of Allegiance. There's a lot of key words in this phrase, and we've been taking the phrases, and we'll continue through next week. Today, we're looking at the word indivisible. Next week, we'll be looking at liberty and justice. Last week, we looked at one nation under God. Last week, we talked about how, as American citizens, those of us that live here that have American citizenship, and those of that live here that don't, we enjoy the blessings of our country. There are things that God calls us to. Because we, if we are a follower of Jesus, our citizenship is not just here in America. The Bible says we have a citizenship in heaven. And the term that we learned last week is that God has sent us to be His ambassadors. Now, what is an ambassador? An ambassador is the highest ranking position given to somebody who's traveling from one land to another to represent that land. They're sent with that highest ranking position possible, with the full authority of the nation behind them. And last week we learned that if you know Jesus as your Savior, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are called to be an ambassador. It doesn't matter what's in your past. It doesn't matter the brokenness in our lives. It doesn't matter the sin. If we are a Christ follower, Christ forgives us and He calls us. He chooses us to be His ambassadors. We've been chosen to live in this nation. In Jeremiah 29, I encourage you to go and read it. Jeremiah 29 was a letter written to the Babylonian Empire. It was written to the Israelites who were captive there. The Israelites were taken away to be slaves and to serve an evil king, Nebuchadnezzar. If you missed any of these stories, I encourage you to go back and to our podcast and listen to them. But what was so beautiful about what happened there is even though the Israelites saw themselves as captives, God saw them as sent ones. God said, consider the land where I have sent you. Where I have sent you into captivity. I have a purpose and a plan. He said, I want you to pray for that city. Not that it would crumble. Not that the leader would be destroyed. I want you to pray for and bless the city where I have sent you. For if it prospers, you too will prosper. As you bless others, I will bless you. This has been God's plan from the beginning. It's His plan for us today, living in this one nation under God. We are called to be a blessing to those around us. But the hard thing is, if we focus on what divides us, it's hard to be united. And this week was a tough week for many. We had an election. I don't know if you heard. Some people left that election process saying, God, you heard my prayers. Others said, how could you, God? I had friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, writing me saying, God, John, what should we do now? Others saying, John, aren't you so glad God answered our prayers? And to both, I had people writing me, sat in my car, and I prayed, God, help me to vote for the right nation. Let your will be done. And I had brothers and sisters in Christ voting for Trump or for Hillary. And it puzzles me that 15,000 people voted for some dead gorilla as well. And it's just, it's crazy. We live in a terrible season where there's tension, where there are tons of things that seek to divide us, when God calls us to be united. We have a king, and it doesn't matter who holds the office of president. We know who holds the universe. And God calls us to be his ambassadors, his sent ones, to take his message of hope, his message of love, his message of healing and forgiveness to the world where he has placed us. We are his ambassadors to this great land. We are to be his light in dark places. I want you to say the Pledge of Allegiance with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Indivisible. I want you to know that Jesus, on the night that he was arrested, recorded in John chapter 17. If you're taking notes, these notes are in your handout. John chapter 17 records, the whole chapter is Jesus' prayer written out for us to see the heart of Jesus speaking to God our Father. And you know what his prayer, his focus is? That we would be one. That we would be an indivisible nation under God. Not just America, but the world. Let's look at it together. John chapter 17, verse 20 picks up. It says, I pray for those who will believe. 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing his time to be arrested was coming, knowing he was about to be betrayed, knowing that he was about to go to the Roman cross to have his body broken, his blood shed, he prayed, Jesus, God, before I go, my prayer is for those who will one day believe. You know who he was talking about? He was talking about you and he was talking about me. He's talking about those in this world who do not yet know him. I pray for those who will believe. What did he pray? He said in verse 21, I pray that they may be one. So that they may be brought together to complete unity in verse 23. And following it says, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. It is God's heartbeat that we would be the one body of Christ. We are the church. We are his plan to share his love and his message of forgiveness and his movement of redemption with this world. We are his plan A, and there is no plan B. He is calling us to be his ambassadors, his sent ones, and he wants us to show this world his love. There are so many things that seek to divide us, even among believers, Christians. You'll have one church on one corner looking at the church across the street and considering them the competitor, the enemy, instead of the partner and the one that God has called us to be united with. It doesn't matter what denominational background you have. It doesn't matter what style of worship, whether you enjoy a choir or you like a rock band. It doesn't matter. The focus is the message of Jesus Christ, that he and he alone can save and bring hope and bring forgiveness of sins. Jesus said, I pray that they would all be one. My hope is that we wouldn't let trivial things, and not everything in this world is trivial, I know that. I've been in churches where I've sat in business meetings where church votes were about to happen. And the most exciting thing that we waited for was to see what argument or fight would break out first. Arguments of what color carpet was going to be chosen to put in the parlor. Arguments over whether we were going to have stained glass or not. Just stupid things. And the enemy wants us to be divided. He wants us to be focused on trivial matters that don't make a difference. as long as the enemy keeps us divided and attacking one another, we won't be on the mission that God has called us to be one and to be loving this world as He loved us. And so, simply because somebody voted different than you does not make them the enemy. We have an enemy, a spiritual enemy, who will use anything he can to divide us and have us tear each other apart. My heart was broken by the kind of messages that I saw on social media, messages from many of you that I consider friends, angry. And it's all right to be angry. What we do with that anger is so important, and what we don't do with it. I know sometimes there are issues that will keep us up late at night, but instead of getting on Facebook and blasting the world, we should get out of bed and get on our knees and take our request to God. Cast all our cares and our anxieties upon Him, for He cares for us. And let us pray through the rough issues. And there are some difficult issues. But if we're attacking one another, we're not going to find the answers in that. Instead, God calls us to a specific mission, and it's to be united. If the devil can keep us divided, then we will be weak and ineffective. But the scriptures say, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We have to find our way to be the church, not go to a church. God doesn't call us to go to some gathering and think we've somehow checked the box on being the church. We're to be the church out there, united as one, loving this world. Where do I get that from? If we can discover what it means to be united, we can become unstoppable. We can take the love of Christ and change this world forever. We have to find a way to unite. And here's a couple things that I want to share with you. Three things today. Number one, we desperately need each other. The book of Romans says, just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function, it is the same way with Christ. I'm standing before you and I'm talking, but my mouth would not be able to function without the brain giving it the thoughts and the words to say. And sometimes I just ramble and my brain seems to have shut off. I know you've told me. But when all is functioning right, my brain is working, my mouth is speaking, my body is, my feet are carrying me where I need to go, my hands are confusing you with my motions I do all the time. It's all working together. And the same way, each of us make up the body of Christ. If we were all mouths, we'd all be in a lot of trouble. But some of you are gifted to, as Alex said, big baby holders and chair folders. Some of you are great at Excel spreadsheets. Some of you are great at organizing outreaches like pies and things like that. We need one another to be effective in the mission that God has called us to. We need one another. And if you've not discovered your role in the family of God, your gift that God has given you, then you need to get busy figuring it out, because there's something God wants done that you're not doing. Martin Luther was once, I think it was Martin Luther, who was asked, this villageman came up to Martin Luther and said, I've given my heart to Christ, I've heard your words, and I want to follow Jesus. Now that I'm a believer, what should I do? How should I live for Jesus? And Martin Luther said, well, what are you? What do you do for a living? And he said, I'm a cobbler. Not apple or cherry cobbler, but a guy who makes shoes, okay? I'm a cobbler. That was supposed to be funny, okay? I'm a cobbler, Martin Luther said. Then here's what God wants you to do. Make the best pair of shoes possible and sell it at a fair price. You, as a follower of Jesus, I'm not saying you have to go become a monk or a nun somewhere. God has put you exactly where He wants you, whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a soccer coach, a teacher, a stay-at-home dad, or a stay-at-home mom. Wherever God has put you, be the best that He has put you there, and do it for His glory. Be His ambassador where He has placed you. We need one another. We need each other doing the things God has called us to do. It says, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts, but one body, and we belong to each other. We need to embrace that. I know some of us come from different backgrounds. Some of you count yourself a Methodist or a Baptist or a Charismatic or a Catholic. There's all these kinds of titles we have. You're not first a Baptist, first a Catholic, first a whatever. You're not first a Republican. You're not first a Democratic. If you are a follower of Jesus, You are a Christ follower first. It's Jesus first. And then everything else falls into place. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He will take care of everything else. So many times we're focused on what divides us instead of what unites us. We need to focus on Jesus and His love for this world. And let that be our banner. Remember, it's not about who's in office. It's about who holds the universe. And regardless of who is going to be sitting in the White House next, our mission has not changed. Jesus stood before His disciples, His followers, and He said, I'm about to leave, but I'm leaving you here. And here's your mission. This mission was for them. It's the same mission we have now, 2,000 years later. Go into all the world. He gave us the where. He gave us the what. Teach everyone everything I've taught you, how I've loved, how I've lived among you, how I've cared for you. Teach them this. Make disciples. Help them to know the things that I've taught them. He gave us the world, which is the where, the world, and He taught us the what, go and teach. What He didn't give us was the how. He didn't say, you know, you have to build a building and hold a service where you sing and where you... He didn't, if you search the Bible, it doesn't show you how to do a church service anywhere in there. We kind of invented this in the European days where you assemble everybody, you hire a professional to teach. We've got it wrong. You guys are the priests. You're the ministers. The role of a pastor shepherd is me to encourage you and you to encourage me, and we encourage each other. So who's going to preach next? We have to equip each other. We need to be united with each other. We need to realize that Jesus gave us a mission and it has not changed. Our mission is too big for us to do alone. We need one another. Number two, we need to err on the side of being for and not against. Too many people outside of the love of God see Christians and they see us for what we're against. Too many of people outside of the church don't see us for what we're for. You need to hear this. God is for our world. He is for us. He loves us so much. John 3:16, many of you have heard it. Some of you can say it right now. Say it. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. A lot of people know that verse. God loves the world. The world. Not just God loves the Christians. God loves the good people. I have no hope. I'm just as broken as the rest of us. God loves the world. But very few people know verse 17. Do you guys know what John 3:17 says, the very next verse? Anyone? For God did not come into the world, Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world, because they're condemned already. And we need to carry this message. We are for the people that God has placed around us. No one is going to... I'll restate that. Few people, you'll get their attention if you go to them and say, you know what, you're a sinner and you're going to hell. Okay, I love you too, you know? We need to go to them with the love of Christ. Is that a true statement? Apart from Christ, we are destined to be eternally separated from God. That is true. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. But the message that God wants us to hear is, I love you. I love you, and God loves you. God sent His Son. He demonstrated His love in this. While you were apart from Him, while you were His enemy and far from Him, He sent His Son to take your sins and to die on a cross to set you free. From whatever hurt, habit, struggle you're facing in life, Christ wants to set you free. He is here to love you. This is the message we need to proclaim. We are here to proclaim hope, healing, love, forgiveness. Too many people see the church for what we're against and not what we're for. We need to be changing that. This week on social media, I saw things that just broke my heart. Brothers and sisters in Christ getting on Facebook and not just saying they're angry, but bashing and cussing out other people for the choice they made. I already shared with you, I had friends literally reaching out to me, asking me to pray for them, writing me, saying, I prayed and I voted for Hillary. I prayed and I voted for Trump. Both of them hoping they were doing the right thing. We need to focus on what unites us, not what divides us. Number three. We need to love like Jesus loved. John 13, 34, 35 says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, how did He love us? He gave up everything for us. Everything. Have you ever loved somebody that much? So you, as I loved you, so you must love one another. By this. By what? Our love. Not by how theologically astute you are. Not by how your worship style looks. Not by how right or wrong politically you are. Those aren't the things that matter. By how we love each other is how the world will know that we are His disciples. How they will come to know our God and Father and King. We are called to love our enemies and bless those who curse us. Philippians chapter 2 breaks it down for us. Philippians chapter 2 verse 1 and following says this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness or compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others. Some of your versions say, count others as better than yourselves. And it's not saying look across the aisle and find somebody who's better than yourself. It's saying look at everyone in the world, and whether they're better than you or not, value them as better. In the very same way that Jesus justifies us, He wants us to practice horizontal justification with one another. The Bible tells us that in our sin, in our brokenness, Jesus offers us forgiveness and His righteousness. We don't earn our way to heaven by how good we are. At the end of time, your good works, if they outweigh your bad, you, okay, I guess you get in. It's not about that. The Bible says that none are righteous. None of us are good enough to get in. But Christ demonstrated His love for us. He took our sin upon Himself. And to anyone who would receive it, He says, I give my holiness to you. My righteousness, I clothe you in it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When Jesus looks at us, even though I'm a sinner, even though you've got mistakes in your life, even though you make decisions that break His heart, He is willing to say, I want to forgive you. I love you. If you receive my love, I will see you as clean and white as snow. My Son took your place. His blood was shed to wash your blood, your stains of sin away. In the same way, we are to look to one another. Even if they're not better than us, we are to consider them better. In the Greek, the word for interest doesn't exist. In verse 4, it says, not only looking for your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Take that word interest out. It doesn't really exist. It's just an English word we filled in to make the sentence make sense to us. It says, not only your own, but others. Your own finances. Consider others' finances. Your own hunger. Are you hungry sometimes? What about those who are hungry in the world? Your own well-being. What about the others that God has placed? God has given us a mission to care for one another, to bless, to take care of. One of the number one tools of leading people to Christ is hospitality. It's loving on them, being their friend, caring for them. Not just tell them they're going to hell. Demonstrating Christ's love in their life. In verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. He lowered himself, took on the role of a servant to serve us, to come to us. Jesus stepped into our mess to rescue us from it. And he says, have the same mindset. Step into this world. Too many Christians are pulling away. Well, we want to keep ourselves clean. We don't want to get dirty from the outside. No, God says, I put you in the world, not so you could be of it, but get in it and be the salt, be the light. Go where I have sent you to be my ambassadors. We need to start realizing the power of prayer. Some of you have coworkers that are struggling. Have you ever thought of saying, hey, I'd love to pray for you? Oh, I don't want to offend them. They might not believe what I believe. You know what? Very few people are going to turn down prayer, regardless of their background. You might have somebody struggling at work or at school. Hey, I heard this is going on. I just want you to know. I don't know your spiritual background, but I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Most people will take that as a compliment, regardless of what they believe. There might be an occasional freak out there who will shout some hateful words at you, but most of the people in this world will appreciate your thinking of them and praying for them. And then follow that up a day or two later. How's it going? I've been praying for you. How's it going, that situation? How's it at home? I heard your mom is struggling. I've been praying for her. Hey, go back to them a couple days later. Hey, I was reading, spending some time, and this thought came to my mind. Share with them a verse from God's Word that might give them encouragement. You're not forcing anything. You're not, hey, I want you to make a decision. Are you going to become a believer today and not go to hell? No, just pray for them. Love on them. And let the Holy Spirit draw. The Bible says the Holy Spirit draws us to God. Let the Holy Spirit do that work. You demonstrate love, care, compassion. Let us stop building walls that divide us. Let us stop picking out the things that separate us. Instead, let's cry out to Christ who can unite us. When we live this way, when we take care of one another, we see the beginning of what the church was intended for. In Acts 4, it says all the believers were in one heart and one mind. They were unified. And what happened because of that unity? No one claimed that any of the possessions were their own. They shared everything they had. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. At the end of that passage, 3,000 people came to know Christ as their Savior because of the love they had for one another, the way they were caring for one another. Last year, there was 145 families in our community that couldn't put food on their table or presents under their tree. And they were adopted by women and men like you sitting in this room. Men and women of Hope Hill Church adopted these families, partnered with these families to meet their needs and to share with them the love of Christ. The same families that we're delivering these pies to, many of those families came from this outreach. Let us focus on what our mission is. Some of you sent me some messages, and if I haven't responded because of I'm talking about political messages. Time is too short and our mission is too great for me to get into arguments and details about political things. We need to embrace the mission that God has called us to and to get out there and live it out. Jesus prayed that we would be one. And now we have the opportunity to do it. Let's pray. Father God, first of all, I confess that I need you. I need the men and women sitting in this room around me. I have certain gifts, but there are weaknesses I have that I need their gifts to help me do what it is I'm supposed to do in my own life. And I thank you for surrounding me with them. And I pray that you help us all to have that view, that we need each other, regardless of the differences among us. We can be one as the body of Christ in you. strengthening one another, encouraging each other, working through our differences in love. At the same time, God, help us to realize that you are for us and you are for those who are even against you. You are for our enemies. You want us to love our enemies and bless those who curse us. Help us to do that, God. By the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to love those you've placed around us. God, I pray right now for those who might be sitting in this room, who aren't sure where they are with you, who aren't sure if you even exist. God, I pray their heartbeat would just be to call out to you and say, God, if you are real, if you are there, show yourself to me. Help me to see your love. I open up my life and I invite you to come in. Forgive me and make me new. Change the things and the passions and desires that I know that are wrong, that are just not doing me any good, and help me instead to follow you. If it's true that you died on a cross for me to pay for my sins, thank you for doing that. Come into my life and forgive me. Help me to follow you. God, I pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that you would be transforming hearts right now as they call out to you. As they surrender their lives to you, help them to see you as not just king, but as shepherd, as the one who loves us, as a father. Come into our life and bring hope and healing and forgiveness. Make us new. God, I pray for those in this room who already know you as Savior and King and Lord of Lords. Help us, God, to see ourselves fully as the ambassadors that you've called us to be. Help us to go out into our world and to share your light and love and not be about division and disunity, but God, sharing you and pointing to you by loving one another. God, if we've said some words or wrote some things this week that have offended somebody, help us in humility to go to them and to ask for forgiveness. Help us to go to them and say, you know what, I was angry. I said some things that maybe I shouldn't have. I want you to know that I'm sorry. I love you. God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, use us to do these kinds of things, to be your light in this lost world. God, I pray that you move among us now. You show us, God, in a way that only you can, what our next step would be. Help us to see if there are areas in our life that we are focusing on that divide us. Help us to surrender those things at the foot of the cross and to say, Jesus, it's all about you. Help us, God, to follow you. I ask all these things. In your name I pray. As our worship team leads us in a time of response, as you think about the things I've challenged you with this morning, I want to ask you to do a couple things. If you prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior, I would love to know. Just come on up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to put an arm on your shoulder and just pray with you. If you gave your heart to Jesus, if you accepted his forgiveness, come and let me know. I'd love to celebrate that with you. If there's a struggle going on in your life, no matter what it is, we're called to pray for one another. We have prayer teams around the room. I'll be up here at the front. I'd love to pray with you. Move and let someone pray with you. If you're ready to make a decision of some kind and you say, you know what, I need to do this at work. I need to be a better ambassador in this way. Let one of us know. We'd love to pray into your life that God would give you the power to do that. In all of these things, let us remember that any of this is only possible because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. On these tables around the room, there's four tables. These two front ones will have some of our communion servers here. We take a piece of bread as a symbol of the body of Christ that was broken for us. We dip it in a cup, and as we eat of it, we remember and reflect on what Jesus did for us so that we can go out and do it now for the world that God has placed around us. So I invite you, if you want to go to the back tables, they will be open for you to serve one another as family and friends. But if you want someone to serve you, come on up front. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you and respond now as he leads you.